Thank you, Joe. I almost forgot that one. It's been a while since we did that song. If you would turn your Bibles, hopefully you have them, to the book of Jonah. We want to spend a little time with Jonah this afternoon. Learn some things from Jonah and the big fish and the plant. How many of you remember about the plant in the story of Jonah? It's important. You know, we hear about the big fish. Somebody call it a whale, but it's a big fish in Scripture. And we hear about Jonah and Nineveh. And, you know, Jonah was a racist. Most people don't realize this is a racist story. Jonah didn't want to go to Nineveh because he didn't like them folks. He didn't want to go preach down there. We'll get into all that here in a minute. We'll learn a little thing from Jonah and the big fish. Jonah was one of the most successful preachers in the Old Testament. One of the most successful purveyors of God's word. Over 120,000 people were brought to the word of God through Jonah, Scripture tells us. Most of them Ninevites, eventually. Many lessons we can learn. We're God's people, for one thing. We know we're God's people, but Scriptures validate that for us. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 and 10, we're told you're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people. That's the church. That's the saved, the forgiven, the Christian. That you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who once were not a people, but now are the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. There was one point in time when none of us had God's mercy until we were converted. Same thing for the Ninevites. They didn't have God's mercy, except for the fact that he did send Jonah to preach to them. We have God's message, same as Jonah did. What it's told us in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18, that the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Understand, it was the same power for the Ninevites who heard Jonah preach. Jonah had the word of God and used that word to God's liking eventually. We're supposed to go and preach it. Just as Jonah was supposed to go and preach the gospel, so are we. We're told in no uncertain terms in... Yeah, that's it. I wasn't sure if that's right up on the screen or not. Matthew 28, the Great Commission, we call it, to go and preach the word. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, which would include go and preach the gospel and so forth. And you tell two friends, and they tell two friends, and they tell two friends, etc. We have the message. Jonah had the message. We're supposed to go and preach. Jonah was supposed to go and preach and teach others. The problem is we can be guilty of the same sins that Jonah was guilty of, and we dare not want to go there at all. It might not be that God throws us overboard of a boat and lets us land in the belly of a big fish for 3 days. It might not be that. But who wants to have the same sins on our back that Jonah had on his that caused God some wrath, some displeasure? We don't want to be guilty of those same sins at all. So we're going to take a look at two little divisions in the lesson tonight. One of them is what his sins were not. If we're going to understand what his sins were, we need to start where we understand what his sins really were not, what he didn't do to offend God, or what he didn't do wrong. Then we're going to take a look and see what his sins really were. First of all, what his sins were not. Jonah wasn't guilty of inactivity. He wasn't guilty of just doing nothing. Because he did go and preach. He prophesied to the Jews. If you take a look at 2 Kings chapter 14, verse 25, it says, God, he restored the territory of Israel from the entrance of Hamath to the Sea of Arabah, according to the word the Lord God of Israel, which he had spoken through his servant Jonah. So before Jonah was sent to the Ninevites to preach the word of God, he preached to the Jews. He preached to God's people. He was God's mouthpiece. He was the son of Amittai, the prophet who was from Gath-Hepher. So he wasn't just inactive. And it wasn't that he was doing wrong for preaching condemnation, because people listen to Jonah when he preached condemnation. Sometimes I preach a little condemnation. Miss Weedy calls it hellfire and brimstone. I don't do that very often, but she says I ought to do it more often. But people listen to that. You know, people listen to that as much as if you tell them how good things are. Old Joel Osteen, he's really good about telling you how good you are and everything's going to be fine and God's going to save us all. And sometimes it's okay to listen to a little pat on the back, but it's good to listen to condemnation on occasion, because that tends to keep us more on the straight and narrow than a pat on the back. If you're doing wrong and I pat you on the back, what does that tell you? Keep on keeping on. You're doing good. Just keep doing what you're doing. I pat, 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 pat. But if you hear the condemnation of it, you're thinking, oh, wait a minute, I'm not doing good. I got to fix stuff. So the condemnation is good. And Jonah preached it. Look at Jonah. We're chapter 3, verses 2 through 5. Jonah, chapter 3, verse 2. Arise and go to Nineveh. What a great city to preach it to the message I tell you. So Jonah arose and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was exceedingly a great city, 3 days' journey. And Jonah began to enter the city on the first day's walk, and he cried out and said, yet 40 days Nineveh shall be overthrown. So the people of Nineveh believed God, proclaimed a fast, and put sackcloth from the greatest to the least of them. So when Jonah said, it's coming, they listened. What did he say? How many days? Not very many, 40 days. God's coming. If somebody preached to you 40 days, God's coming, what would you do? We might change some things, wouldn't we? Get our little house in order. So it wasn't the wrong thing that he was doing, was preaching condemnation. And Jonah was not wrong for expecting God to keep his word. We can expect God to keep his word. So Jonah didn't sin in any of those things. In chapter 4, verse 1 and 2, it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he became angry. What would displease Jonah? We'll talk about it in just a little bit, but he was not happy that God relented against his punishment on Nineveh. So he prayed, verse 2 of chapter 4. He prayed to the Lord and said, oh, Lord, what was not this what I said when I was still in my country? Therefore, I fled previously to Tarshish, for I know that you are a gracious and merciful God, slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness, one who relents from doing harm. You see, Jonah's problem was he didn't want all that good stuff to happen to the Ninevites. He didn't like the Ninevites. He didn't like that race of people at all. That's why he ran to Tarshish. Wasn't that he wasn't wanting to speak for God. He was already doing that to the Jews. Race played an important part in his running away from God. So none of that thing was the problem. What were his sins? First of all, he tried to run from his responsibility. In chapter 1, the first few verses, down 1 through 10 in chapter 1, tell us about his running away from God telling him to go and preach, to do this commission. God commissioned Jonah to go and preach to the people of Nineveh, chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. Jonah instead goes to Joppa, wants to hop a freight or a boat to Tarshish in the next two, three verses, 3 through 10. We know the story pretty well by now. Jonah learned that you can't run from God. It's just not possible. From chapter 1, verse 11, down to chapter 2, verse 10, we find out that Jonah was cast off the boat, swallowed up by the big fish. We know the story. We don't need to belabor the story of what took place. So he learned that you just, no matter where you go, you can't run from God. Jonah learned that it's both easier and better to obey. When will we get that into our heads? Jonah had learned the hard way. It's easier and better. Jonah tried to run, and are we trying to run from our responsibilities? Sometimes I think we are. The lesson this morning had to do with that. It's up to us to be that mustard seed, like we talked about this morning, to start the ball rolling, as it were. We can start the ball rolling now, this year. If 20 people out of our congregation bring one person to the Lord this year, we almost double in size. Half again as many. Easy to say. 69 this morning had a few visitors. What if we added 20 to that in this year? We're almost at 100. By next year, well over 120 more people do the same thing, plus the new converts. And I believe it's easier to bring someone to the Lord when you're a brand new Christian than it is once you get learned. Y'all think that's true? I think it is. I think when you're a brand new Christian, you're so on fire, you just can't help but talk about the Lord and the church, and you ought to come see over here. And it kind of gets to be second nature, and we learn so much that people don't want to hear, and we're scared to talk to them anymore. Jonah was that way to a little bit. So we don't need to run from our responsibilities at all. God commissioned us to preach to every creature, Mark 16. You know those verses, Mark 16, 15, 16. Go and preach the gospel to all creatures. He who believes and baptized will be saved. He who does not believe, be condemned. Pretty simple. It's A or B. Our job is not to do the condemning. Our job is just to do the seed planting, like we talked about this morning. There's the verse. So God's commissioned us to go and preach, teach. But are we instead too busy with other things? Sometimes we get that way. We really do. We can't hide from God any easier than Jonah could hide from God. Matter of fact, the psalmist tells us that very thing in Psalm 139, 7 through 11. Starts out saying, "Where can I go from your spirit?" The spirit of God is in all places. Those verses are going to tell us that there is no place in creation we can be where God does not know us and where we are. Given that as Bible fact, you can't hide from God. You just can't do it. So if we can't hide from God, it's both easier and better to obey. Isn't that what John said? What John said in 1 John. Verse 5, 1 through 3, or chapter 5, verses 1 through 3. Whoever believes Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone who loves him and who begot also loves him who is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. That's when it shows. When we love God and keep his commandments. If I ask you this afternoon, do you love God? You'd probably say yes. If I ask you if you keep his commandments, you'd probably say yes. Which commandments include going to all the world and preach the gospel to all creatures? Now, we don't have to go into all the world ourselves. We can help others go into all the world by benefiting them with support, preachers training schools, missionary work, things like that. And we can do our part in our little corner of the world, which we should. That's part of those commandments. I love Matthew 11, 28 through 30. That's one of the most calming and soothing verses in all of the passages, in all the New Testament, I do believe. Such comfort, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. There's a lot of people out there that don't know that. They really hadn't sunk into them yet. Kind of like the Ninevites before Jonah got there. Wasn't that about the same thing Jonah told the Ninevites? If you turn to God, he'll relent. He won't punish like he intends to punish. In 40 days, it's coming. But if you turn to God, basically the same message. Message doesn't change much. God just wants people to come back to him. And the more the better. Part of Jonah's sins were he had no concern to the people he was supposed to preach to. That would be like me standing up here and really not caring if you decided to be on the Lord's side or the devil's side. Whatever. That's not the way to look at God's creation at all. But Jonah did look at it that way because, like I said, he didn't like the Ninevites. They were not his favorite people. He didn't want to go to Nineveh. Chapter 4, verse 3. Therefore now, O Lord, please take my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. The only reason he said that was because he didn't want to go. Not to the Ninevites. Please, just kill me. That's like, I don't want to go down and talk to these people about Jesus. Just take me out of this world so I don't have to do that. That's a pretty sorrowful state. But that's how bad he didn't want to go. Chapter 3, verse 10, down through 4, verse 1, Jonah was angry when the Ninevites repented. I love that part. He did his job. He didn't want to go, but finally after the big fish and all that happened, he finally went to Nineveh and preached and said what God told him to say. And they listened and repented. Amazing. They were heathens. They weren't God's people. They were Gentiles of all things. And they listened and they repented. The whole bunch of them, not just a few. Jonah knew God's grace and mercy. He didn't want Nineveh to have access to that. He actually feared success. Think about it. He was afraid of succeeding in what God had sent him to do. How like Jonah are we? Are we afraid of success? Are we afraid that we'll actually have someone respond, well, what do I need to do to be saved? Like Peter did at Pentecost. Men and brethren, what must we do? Well, Bob, what do I got to do to be saved? Well, Barbara, you have to obey the gospel. Sometimes it's just that easy. And sometimes we're a little afraid that it's just too easy and we don't know what to say. What if they ask a question? What if the Ninevites had asked Jonah, well, what about such and such? Reckon what Jonah would have said. Jonah would have said, you know what? That's really irrelevant. God's coming in 40 days. What are you going to do? He didn't have to have all the answers. Didn't know all the questions, must ask all the answers. Didn't even like the Ninevites. But they repented, and because of Jonah's words, that salvation of a sort. God saved them instead of punishing them. I do believe God was about ready to take them out before Jonah got there. We got to care that the people around us are lost. Absolutely lost. We were talking, some of you haven't been in our study on Wednesday nights and or Thursday nights. When we listened to Ken Stiegel talk about law, and on Wednesday nights, we talked about it last week. When we break law, there's no provision in law for justification or for sanctification or for salvation. Law just says, here I am. If you break me, you're guilty, period. God's law, man's law, doesn't matter what law. The problem is that people who don't know that Jesus came for when they break the law, if they never broke the law, Jesus coming wouldn't make them any difference. If the Ninevites had never displeased God, Jonah didn't have to go there. But the big problem is that whether Jesus came or not, men were lost. Jesus coming and my turning away from Christ doesn't have anything to do with me being lost. I'm lost whether he came or not, period. I can only be saved because he did come. And that's what people need to know. That's what Ninevites need to know, that God said, I'll save you, I'll relent against your punishment that's coming in 40 days if you'll come back to me, if you'll turn from your wicked ways. And they did. We got to care that people are lost. We have to understand that like Paul, we need to have this understanding that woe to me if I don't preach the gospel. Woe unto me if I don't teach my neighbor, my family, my brothers and sisters that I work with, my whoever it may be. Woe to me. Woe is me if I don't do that. That's what Paul said in these verses. For if I do this willingly, I have a reward, but if against my will, I have been entrusted with the stewardship. Go back and spend some time with that later on tonight. I encourage you to do that. It won't take time to do it now, but those are mighty meaty words that Paul spoke. Necessity is laid upon me. Woe is me if I don't preach the gospel. That's pretty strong. Jonah was a little unconcerned, not like Paul. This is like a moment of truth. Our actions sometimes speak louder than our words. Yes, I love God. Yes, I obey his commandments as best I can, but my actions don't show that I'm doing anything about planting those seeds, period. Down in verse 3 of Romans 9, for I wish I could that I myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my countrymen, according to the flesh. Have you ever wished, sincerely as Paul did, that you could be lost in hell if it meant that somebody else could be saved? pretty much what Paul said. I wish that I could be accursed for my countrymen. He said, they have a great zeal, but not according to knowledge. Remember that? Paul said, I wish I could take their place, but he knew that wasn't possible. It was totally opposite of Jonah's attitude. Jonah didn't want to take the Ninevites' place at all. He wanted them to take their own licks, not him. Our actions speak louder than words. And how do we know if someone will listen or not to the gospel? We don't. Let's just put it out there. We said this morning, we're not soil inspectors. We're seed planters. That's our forte. Doesn't matter what kind of soil we're talking to, God will take care of that. God will provide the increase. We plant, we water. That's it. That's all Jonah did. Failure to understand God's purposes was another sin of Jonah's. He went outside the city to pout. He did. He was not happy that the Ninevites were saved. He wanted to go pout. Goes up on the hill, just looks at the city. So God gives him a plant to shade. It's hot out there. God gave him a plant. He prepared a plant for shade, then destroyed the plant. If you go down and look back at verses 6, 7, and 10 in chapter 4. He destroyed the plant, and it made Jonah upset because he cared more about the plant, obviously, at that point in time, than he did the Ninevites. He didn't want them to be saved, but he wanted that plant to be saved. Why, God, why didn't you destroy this plant? It wasn't just because of the shade. God destroyed it with a worm, as the story goes. Jonah had no pity on the Ninevites like he did the plant. But God says we should have pity on those around us that are lost. And if we can't have pity on lost folks, what do we have pity on? Where are we? If we can't have a heartfelt, I feel sorry for that person who is lost, who doesn't know Christ. If we can't do that, if we can't have that heartfelt pity, what good are we in God's kingdom? Are you concerned that your neighbor is most likely lost? Isn't that something to say? Of all the people we know in this town, in this community, from here to wherever we know people, the majority of them, according to what Jesus said, the narrow gate and the wide way, the majority of them are lost. No different than some in the Lord's church. There are people in the Lord's church, believe it or not, that are lost, that will be lost. We need to care about that. We need to care strongly, strongly about that. God needs people to live for him, work for him. This passage, 1 Corinthians 1:21, for since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God. The wise, the smart people, they don't know God. They don't think they need to know God. They're too smart for that. But the rest of that verse says, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. The world thinks that this stuff is just foolishness. No, don't need that. When you're dead, you're dead. When you're dead all over, just like Rover, some say. We know better. It's not our secret to keep, though. We need to spread the gospel to save those who believe through the foolishness of the message preached. Jonah was the most successful preacher of the Old Testament times. The lessons we learn, we're God's people. We have God's message. We're supposed to go and preach it and teach it. And we can be guilty of the same sins that Jonah was guilty of. We can also avoid the sins of Jonah. We don't have to be like him. We don't have to run from God's commission. We can gladly, willingly accept it. And didn't we do that when we said, yes, I want to be a Christian. I want to follow Jesus. Didn't we accept all the responsibility, which is also sharing the word? Be concerned about others and salvation of theirs. We need to also realize that God intends to work through you and me to save others. There was a story one time I heard of the Apostle Peter up in heaven talking to the Lord. Well, Lord, what if they don't? What if they don't take the word and spread it to others? What are you going to do then? What do we do then? He said, that's the only plan. Plan A. There is no plan B. They will. Will we? Will we teach others? Will we be that mustard seed? Our Nineveh, you see, is all around us. We don't have to go much anywhere to get to our Nineveh. It's right here. We need to take the word. If you've been much like Jonah in your attitude about taking the word to others, we need to repent. When we repent, it means we go the other way. If we haven't been, we need to start. If we hadn't been that mustard seed, we need to be that mustard seed. If we haven't been spreading the gospel, we need to teach others as best we can. Not going to win them all. We win some of them. God's word does that. Remember this morning we said his word would not return to him void, and it will do what he sent it to do. And all we have to do is share it. That's your message tonight. I hope it's been beneficial to you, and I hope it will be beneficial to you in the coming days. And if you need some help with spreading the gospel or how to teach folks, we're here to help. If you need help tonight, I think most everybody in here is Christian. But if maybe you're not. Maybe you've not settled into your Christianity. Maybe you're not settled into your right baptism. Maybe there's something in your mind or on your heart that needs to be addressed. And if that's the case, we would pray and beg that you would come while we stand together and while we sing.